Normally at this time, we are chatting with Matt Stringer, the Chief Executive of RNIB. However, today, David Clark, the Chief Operations Officer, is stepping in. David, thank you very much for joining us.
Brilliant to be here.
Now, a few topics to delve into. We're going to start, first of all, with a look at the cost of living. RNIB and some other charities are asking government to look again at things like welfare payments and extra help because of the extra costs that go along or are accompanied by disabilities as well.
We're very, very conscious that blind and partially sighted people are facing into huge cost increases, and many do simply not have any way of making ends meet. And of course, when we look at benefits and other support that's being made available, for example, on energy costs specifically, there's very limited increases in benefits, if at all, and again, very limited support on energy costs. So we are directly asking Nadeem Zahawi and Therese Kofi, the relevant ministers, to relook at this, because it's simply not sustainable for blind and partially sighted people to continue to face into these cost increases and be able to meet everything that they need to do to stay healthy and live their ordinary life like anyone else would.
I suppose one thing that kind of jumped out to me was people who are partially sighted, if they require, you know, stronger lights, more lights around the house, even straight away, there's an example of something which will cost extra.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one example. Many people, as you know, Alan, will have other conditions, complexities and complications that will require energy. And therefore, you know, this will cost more money. And this is not something that people are choosing to use or choosing to do. Very often, as you say, with the lighting example or other specialist equipment, this is necessary cost. And then, you know, a further point is that it's much more challenging for a blind and partially sighted person to know what's costing what energy, you know, and we are doing as RNIB a little bit of work in the background on this and hope to have something on that fairly shortly in terms of how people can keep in touch with their specifics or energy usage. But of course, even if you're in touch with your energy usage, even if you have all the data to hand, you know, if you can't afford it and your income's staying the same, but your costs are going up, then there's an obvious gap there that's going to lead into all sorts of difficulties. So I'm not wishing to be alarmist over this to your listeners, but I am absolutely intent that ministers understand the real issue that's occurring here.
Now, we will give some contact details a bit later. There's a lot of help and support and advice from RNIB. We'll give the website and the helpline number for you. But something else, this time around, more employment, David, access to work, which is a scheme that can provide financial assistance to people with disabilities going into work. It can pay for things like support workers, the extra costs of equipment or changes that employers don't have to meet. There's a lot of concern, though, about the strain that access to work is under at the moment. People, I don't want to use the word being failed by, but really some more barriers and obstacles being put up.
Yeah, I mean, there's undoubtedly a time delay at the moment. And, you know, we estimate that time delay to be anywhere between 4 to 6 months. And it's utterly unreasonable that you're unable to get the support you need in short order to enable you to take that job up in the same time frame as anyone else would. So, you know, in the background, we're doing a lot of work to try and actually get to the heart of this problem and resolve it. But in the meantime, I just wanted your listeners to know that RNIB can provide interim support and on occasions interim solutions and can suggest workarounds to this. We are not in any way suggesting that we are the lender of last resort in this kind of scenario. We will absolutely continue to hold access to work to account to do the job they're there to do. However, I know this can be very, very worrying, a bit like the discussion we were having about benefits before. You know, these issues can be extremely worrying, and I wouldn't want people worrying alone. We do have experts within the RNIB, both from a benefits perspective and an employment perspective, and particularly around access to work, who are able to give great advice and, as I say, can also provide some practical solutions to help people take up those roles while they're waiting for access to work to play catch up.
And we'll have more on this particular topic a bit later here on RNIB Connect Radio as well. Again, we'll give you the contact details later so you can get in touch and ask questions if you find yourself in that particular situation. Going to round things off, David, with a bit of fundraising and sports news.
Yeah, well, I mean, before we do that, I mean, you've had your annual holiday to Birmingham. How were the Commonwealth Games? You must have enjoyed yourself. Did you get to listen to and have a feel of the bull? That's the big question.
Perry the Bull was everywhere. Yeah, we got to meet Perry, got photos taken with Perry. Couldn't find a beach, but yeah, it was really good being down there. The weather was fantastic. We got around to Leamington Spa, to the Parables. We were at the arena. We made it along to the stadium, the Alexander Stadium. We chatted with some of the winners down there, including Zach Shaw, who took the silver in the men's 100 metres for England. He was ecstatic. But yeah, we got to talk to a lot of people down there. It was a great experience and great to highlight once again the inclusiveness. And I think, you know, Zach summed it up when he was chatting with us, and he said, you know, we're here at the stadium. There are, I think it was 3 para events and 1, what you might want to call a mainstream event on. But mm-hmm. there were 30,000 people there to watch all of that. And that's fantastic.
Wow. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. I hope no one described any of your on-site reports as bull, Alan.
But, or my shorts.
Look, I think you're right. I mean, that inclusivity. I think there's quite a big discussion around, I saw, about, you know, well, why isn't the Paralympics like this and why aren't they together? And I think the beautiful thing about the Commonwealth Games is of a size and shape that means you can do this. There's no doubt in my mind that were you to look at a combined Paralympics and Olympics, then events would suffer because there would be no city in the world that could take the entirety of the Paralympics and the Olympics and host it successfully without cancelling events and losing categories. And, you know, I've got other great news for you as well, Alan, because, of course, we're coming up to a year before the IBSA World Games in Birmingham, where we'll be back, which is really, really exciting, where RNIB are the lead sponsor, and we're very much looking forward to that. But also, and I didn't see your name on this list, I've got to be honest, but we've got 90 people running the London Marathon for RNIB on October the 2nd, of whom 24 are blind and partially sighted, which is our highest ever number in terms of percentage of runners. Each of those 90 runners has committed to raise at least £2,000 to support RNIB's work. So we're really, really proud of them. I'm going to be down there on the 2nd of October cheering them on. I shan't be running. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt, too old now. But I'm really looking forward to it. It's great. I loved London. I did London in 2005, 6, 7 and 9. But I'm looking forward to getting back there and being part of the event and really thanking our runners. Who, I think, you know, to run a marathon for anybody is an incredible thing to offer to do. And yeah, maybe your time will come.
I was sure I submitted my form along with yours. I'm pretty certain they went in the same envelope, David.
it must have got lost in the post.
Yeah, I'm not quite a distance runner, I have to say. Although I was chatting with some of the guys at events, and I think I'm going to look at doing the big jump. Maybe not this year, but I think, yeah, that's going to be in the cards next year. But that is a great amount of people doing that, and some of the blind runners as well are going to be taking part. I hope the weather's good for them. It's such a great event, and a global event as well.
I've done it in rain and shine, and it, as a runner, you like a bit of happy medium. I think my favourite was about 18 degrees with a bit of drizzle, but it wasn't pleasant in torrential rain, and it wasn't pleasant at 28 degrees either. But you're absolutely right about the global. I mean, for that to be seen right around the world, you know, we talk about creating a world with no barriers and equitable participation for blind and partially sighted people, and an event like the London Marathon demonstrates that.
Now, as we were talking earlier, if you'd like more information on the cost of living, any help or advice or support, or indeed if you have any concerns around access to work, or indeed you'd like to learn more about RNIB's services, please do get in touch. The website is there, rnib.org.uk. You can call our great team on the helpline on 0303 123 9999, and if you have an Amazon Echo device, just ask Lady A to call the helpline. Well, that's us for this week. David, thank you very much for stepping in for Matt, and thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks, Al.